Yeah, man.
That sounds so nice, doesn't it? Is that the one that you got on Craigslist?
This is one I bought this on eBay.
Oh, is that the eBay
when
one?
No one gave a shit about Mustangs, and it was $1,300 or whatever.
When did it change? When did the sort of like everybody wanted one?
I don't know. I mean, maybe with JMJ talking about them a bunch, or there was just sort of this like short scale renaissance, right? Where yes. like everybody wanted short scales. And I wasn't in that. I was just like, oh, I want to find a cool example, like one good example of all the classic Fenders. That's how it started for me.
Yeah. You know? That guy, like the guy that was it Jake that used to do the reverb bass videos that you met over in Chicago?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
he did a, right in the midst of the short scale thing, he did a video and it was, I think the title of it was "Our Short Scale Basses Having a Thing." It was something like that. And I can remember seeing that video and being like, yeah, they are absolutely having a thing
definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Like, could you go like only short scale? Cause some people play them kind of like exclusively, don't they?
I will say that Vorin Saku that Saku built for me in Finland, I love that bass. I could almost, there have been times where I thought like, man, I could probably just do this thing.
Really?
This is vain, but for me, it's a size thing because I'm a big dude and I don't like the way that like the little, like Mustangs look on me. Right. So even though I love the way they sound, I wouldn't play one live a bunch because I'm a vain son of a bitch.
Well, JMJ is pretty big, isn't he? He's like...
Is he? Yeah. Yeah, maybe, but he's like tall. Lean, mean, you know, cool hair. And I'm just like, ah, man, for me, I see myself and I just look like Winnie the Pooh with like... like I don't know, freaking dude. Winnie it's the not Pooh. Cool. So, yeah, no, I mean, for me, it's a jazz bass forever. It would be like, if I had one, it would be a jazz bass, 100%. I like the body. Yeah. I love the... Yeah. Yeah. What about you? What would it be?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I'm still looking for Excalibur. You're like, I really do fantasize. I know that we've just sort of like last week we talked about, bass collections. Let's get a bass collection. And I'm still actually really into the idea. I'm really into the idea more for having, I guess, sort of like a watch collector would have a watch collection, you know, like I have a really nice watch, but I don't really want to like collect watches, but I imagine like they have them because they're like pieces of beauty for them. And I sort of like, they're sort of like steeped in history. So I think that if I was to have like a bass collection, I think it'd be very different for me and you. I think that you use a lot of your basses. I don't think I would necessarily use a lot of the basses. I think I would just sort of like, fawn over them. I just sort of like, you know, I just like look at
them and just, dude, you lay them all down on the ground and roll around in them.
Exactly that. Yeah, just sort of like lick them now and again. You know, just sort of like, yeah, and I'd enjoy every single minute. But I'm definitely particularly drawn I'm drawn to basses with historical significance as well. Mm. Not as a like particular basses, like single basses with historical significance. This bass was owned by the producer who, and he got like Flea to use it on one track and nobody knows about it, but it was this bass. And that's the kind of bass
that's
I'm
what
into.
You want.
Yeah, dude.
And that would also make incredible content. You know what it makes me think? Yeah. It makes me think that you need to start this collection with that wall that's at Bass Gallery.
No! No! Don't say it! Because...
Yeah. I think... What a piece in the collection. Holy moly. I mean, you want to talk about story. You want to talk about story and relevance, and you want to, I mean, that Scott Devine, that one, dude, that one is crazy. You could probably get him to come down a couple $100 on the price, dude.
I don't even want to mention it. I don't even want to mention it. Just in case somebody's listening to it. Okay, I'm going to mention it quietly. The bass, the wall bass that they used on the Live Aid song, like, What's the song called? Do They Know It's Christmas
Feed
Time?
Feed the World.
Feed the World. Feed the World. That ooh, nice wall pitch. Bass. Ah, that bass is for sale at the Bass Gallery in London. Oh, it's a lot. It's like $25,000 or something like that. And it'd be, but I do, that bass. Oh.
Can you imagine trying to justify that to Lisa?
No. No. I'm like, I'm buying a car. I'm looking to buy a car at the minute. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm actively avoiding a conversation with Lisa about it. I'm just sort of skirting around. Dude, it.
Hold up. I've got this solved. Just get a Yaris and then get that bass.
Yeah. Oh, dude, maybe that's the way forward. Maybe that's the way forward. Okay. I'm going to pull us onto the conversation for this, and give context to it as well. The talking point or the title of this podcast is A Cruise Ship Gig's a Big Mistake. And I think it's a great conversation because, you know, if people are thinking about, you know, how to be a professional musician, how to support themselves, how to, you know, go and do a full-time gig, this is actually a really, really valid pathway that they can take. And it's one that I took. And I'll get into it off the back of, you know, of this question. But the thing that spurred me on to want to talk about it is that somebody messaged me on Instagram and they actually led with the title. They were like, hey, just reaching out. I know that you've done cruise ships in the past, but I was just wondering, is it a big mistake for me? Mm. And their context is that they went on and they said, look, I'm around 30 years old. I've got a kid. I've got a wife. I'm also pretty well established as a bass player in this area, but I've just been offered a 6-month cruise ship gig. Mm-hmm. And I've heard you and Ian talking about it before. Seems like you had a great experience doing it. Would it be a big mistake for me to go do it? That was the question.
Oh, it's I so was good. Like, dude, and before you're going to have to speak to this because I have never played like a cruise ship gig. I got a chance to go with Eric Hutchinson and play the Sail Across the Sun tour, which was so fun. But that was very different because that was with an established artist, right? We were the attraction, and it was amazing. So I have a very skewed perception of what it is. I can't wait. But before you start to answer it, I want to even tag on to that question because I have two really, really great friends, Kyle Tennis and Andrew Frederick. And Kyle Tennis has this great band in Minneapolis called the Riverside Hitmen that he runs, and it's amazing. And then my friend Andrew Frederick is in a band called Frederick the First. And they are both two of the most ferocious musicians, guitar players that I know. And they came from cruise ship world. And so really? I have always, okay. yes. Yeah. And I have always had this kind of actually this admiration and like higher level than I would have for maybe people that play weddings all the time. Or like my admiration for the cruise ship musicians that I know is similar to my admiration for the like West End or Broadway musicians that I know. It's high level because I think it's like a, you know, you get tossed in right to this, like to the snake pit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like sink or swim, dude. It's like off the starboard bow. I don't know if that's just some bullshit boat talk that I don't know if that's but I mean, right, like
you sounded know, like, good, mate.
Yeah, dude. You know, so I have this really high esteem. And of course you're another cruise ship musician that I know that I have high esteem for with your skills and your prowess and your, you know, your love for music and your knowledge. Mm. And so I have only had positive interactions about the cruise ship thing. And so I just want to add on to that, you know, like if this were someone talking to me, I might be like, hell yeah, man, because everybody that I know that's done it is a super badass and do it. And that would be awesome. But of course, I know that there are caveats and pitfalls, and I'm so excited to hear how you would answer this question. So I just wanted you to know too that I'm coming at it from a very biased place because I have huge admiration, but you have the experience, so I definitely want to hand it over to you.
Yeah, well, I will talk about my experience first in terms of like my experience, like how I found the cruise ships and stuff like that from a personal point of view. And then we can jump into that guy's question as well.
Yeah.
And maybe something else we can talk about is there are a couple of different roles that people can have on a cruise ship as a bass player. And they're similar but different, right? I will say that my personal experience was freaking awesome.
Yeah, right?
Yes. It was so good. It was so good.
And you loved it.
Oh, dude, I loved it. So just let me set you the context as well. I was young. So first of all, I was younger. I was in my early 20s, like 20, 21.
Yeah.
I didn't have any real ties. I had like a serious girlfriend. We were living together at the time, but no kids, anything like that. So no sort of like crazy responsibility or anything like that. And I didn't have any gigs or anything, you know, lined up. I had no sort of like steady gigs that I was doing. Mm. So I was kind of sort of like, you know, doing a day gig. I had some gigs as well in the area at the time, but other than that, you know, sort of like there was nothing sort of like, and also as well to add, it's important, I hadn't really a sort of, you know, got a name for myself in this area where I was living at the time. You know, when I left, I wasn't going to be leaving a hole. People weren't like, oh, Scott left, you know, nobody sure. would say anything, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So it was kind of like the perfect opportunity for me.
Yes.
I got offered this gig and it was a 6-month gig on a cruise ship that was started going all around the Caribbean, and then we went over and we did all of the Mediterranean. And the guy called me and he was like, oh, I can't go, will you go for me? I was like, well, what is it? And he was like, well, it's a 6-month cruise ship gig. I had never even heard of a cruise ship gig. I was like,
right,
what do you mean? And he was like, well, you know, you play every day on a cruise ship and you get to travel around the world. And in my mind, I'm like, and do I need to pay for this? And he's like, no.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah, you get paid. I'm like, what? So anyway, I was like, yeah. And like, there's a whole story to tell around, you know, my audition to get on there, which was horrendous, and that I shouldn't have gone there because I wasn't good enough.
And you talked about that on the pod. I mean, there was an episode where you talked all about that audition process and how hard that was.
It was brutal, and it was not because auditions for cruise ships are really hard. It was because I wasn't experienced enough. I hadn't been playing bass long enough.
Yeah.
And I just had no clue what I was doing. So it was, you know, it was a bad experience, but I, you know, skated on through there, just, you know, I did. And I ended up going on there, and it was the best experience. One of the best experiences of my life from a playing standpoint. It was like in at the deep end, sink or swim.
Yes.
And I was playing in the band. So I wasn't playing in the theater. I was playing in like a lounge band. So we did two sets of jazz at the beginning of each night, and then we did three sets of, like, you know, top 40 stuff. Every night, other than like one or two nights off, for actually ended up like 7 months. Every night for 7 months, I learned so much. It was insane. It was like insane the amount of stuff that I learned, just in terms of sort of like, I learned how to play jazz. I learned how to, everything, man. It was like,
dude,
crazy.
It reminds me of like plugging Neo into the Matrix and like, you know, like you need to learn how to fly a chopper and like, and you know, and then he's like, I know how to do kung fu, like, right? It's like a hyper infusion of all of those things into your style, into your repertoire. Yeah
And also as well, looming over you as well, specifically in my case, because I wasn't good enough, and I'd been told before I went on the cruise ship I wasn't good enough by the musical director. He was like, you're gonna go on this cruise ship, you know, have no illusion, you will be getting sent home. You are not good enough. But if I don't put you on, the rest of the band will not go. And all of those guys have got families yes. relying on them and stuff like that. So you need to go, but you will be getting sent home. So I needed to get up to speed. Otherwise, I was going to get sent home. So it really was like talk about like trial by fire. It really, really
so
was
awesome.
Crazy pressure. But anyway, I winged it. It was fine. It was, you know, stayed on there. And just in terms of a learning experience, probably the best learning experience of my life, because it was all of the different styles of music, but also at the same point, got to see the world, got to, you know, interact and play with these musicians every day. It was crazy. So for me, that was going to university. It, for me, like, I didn't go to uni. I went on that cruise ship. I did that. I did that contract. And then after that, I never did sort of like a full 6 months again. I did like monthers, 2 monthers here and there, sort of like doing that. But it was always great. And my experiences were always great. So that was my experience. And it was really great. Mm. It's important for people to know as well, when you go on cruise ships, there's a couple of different kind of roles you can fill as a bass player. You can play in the sort of like lounge band, which is, you know, as I said, you're going to be playing anything from jazz through to like top 40 stuff where, you know, you need to entertain everybody and get everybody up dancing and stuff like that. But the musicians can be really great. Like I've worked with some incredible musicians on cruise ships. A friend of mine, he was a great drummer, and he actually went to play in the lounge band, and he did 2 weeks and they let him go. They were like, you're not up to standard. Yeah. They sent him off. Wow. And he was a good drummer, and it was a whole load of Berkeley graduates had put a band together. They'd gone and done a cruise, hired him, and he just wasn't good enough. So they sent him off. And he talked about it as a positive experience. Actually, he was like, it was just great to be able to play at that level with those guys for 2 weeks. It's made me even more pumped. I'm going to go do it. And he actually went back on as well. And even cooler, went back on with that band at a later date. How cool is that?
No way. That's so cool.
So it was really great for him. And then the other role is playing in the theatre band, which is a completely different gig, because that is reading. You are reading charts. It's going to be new music. Visiting artists are going to come on board, and you will be there to, you're going to have to do the rehearsal, and then they will be playing those charts that night. So it's much more, in terms of reading, it's a more intense environment, you know, in terms of like reading. Both are great. Both if you can, if you want to go do the cruise ship thing. So for me, it was a great experience. Both of those experiences were really, really good. And I highly, highly recommend it for anybody that wants to, you know, that are looking at different avenues of being a professional musician, you know, because, you know, ultimately you are, if you're not going to go do cruise ships, you're going to end up doing corporate events, maybe weddings and stuff like that to bulk up your income, because you can't just do, in general, you can't just do cool gigs you want to do. You've got to do, right. You know, you've got to do these gigs as well. But I will say that if the musicians are killing on it, it's so great. There's so much to be learned. And if you, and they will coach you as well. If you're on with some sort of like great people, they will coach you. And even if you get an ass kicking, it's worth it, you know, because it's just, you know, there's so much to be learned, to learn from going through that. That said, to the question that the guy asked when he messaged on Instagram, I guess that if somebody asked me to go away now, even if I wasn't doing SBL, if I was living in Leeds and I had a family and kids and I had sort of like established myself as a bass player, if somebody came and said, hey, do you want to do a 6-month contract? I would probably question that. And for me personally, I would say
it's
no.
A long time.
Yeah. I've had friends that have made the decision to go away, that have had families, kids, and have been established as musicians within the area. And they've gone away. And it's always, pretty much always, been tough for them because of two things. Number one, going away from your kids and stuff for 6 months is a drag. And yes, you can sort of like, they can come out and visit and stuff like that, but holy shit, come on. You know, it's just really hard. And I know I don't know everybody's situation and they might need the money. So I'm just push that aside for a minute. just spending like 6 months away from your family is a thing. It's like, it's not a short time. It's half a year.
Yeah.
So it is a big decision to make. And then secondly, when you do step out of a scene for 6 months, it does have an effect. Like, it does, for sure. Like,
for sure.
You think those gigs are going to be there when you get back. And some of them might be.
Right.
But some of them might not. And there's two guys that jumped to mind that I'm speaking about. In both of those, when they came back, they spoke, more than sort of like the gigging thing, they said it was a mistake in terms of family. One guy specifically, he had a brutal, I can remember him telling me about it, and he said he was like waving his like kids goodbye as the ship left. And he was like, oh. And then Mark Smith is, I know a guy called Mark Smith, a guy called, he does like talking bass on YouTube. He's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that his baby daughter had just been born, I think, as he left. And I think that he was something like that. And he was telling me, and the story was brutal. So it's something to take into consideration when you're going to do those long contracts, that it is a bit of a drag when it comes to like leaving your family and stuff like that. But when you come back, if you've had like a solid gigs in place, and you've got like a reputation and stuff like that, 6 months is still a long time. And for me, if I was talking to a friend, if that guy, you know, like I basically am telling you what I told him now in the message, but if a friend was with me and we're hanging out, having a coffee, whatever, and he asked me, I would be like, can you get them to reduce it down? Can you get them to reduce the contract down? Or if you want to scratch that itch, if you want to go and do a cruise ship, can you reach out to cruise ship musicians and say, hey, if you want covered for like a month, four weeks, I'm down. Because those gigs do pop up. You know, if you do introduce yourself to the bass players and the musical directors, we live in this sort of like super connected world now. You can find people that have done that or are in those places. I'd really recommend that. But, you know, like spending sort of like 4 weeks away out of a city that you've got like a reputation, stuff like that. No big deal. And spending, you know, 4 weeks away from your family. Yeah, it'd be hard, but still it's going to be great. You'll get to see part of the world and be paid for it. But yeah, that's the only downside about doing those long contracts. I would say for the right individual at the right time in their life, freaking go for it.
Yeah.
But if you've got different responsibilities and you've got like a really great name in your area and really solid gigs and stuff like that, 6 months, I might be sweating a little bit to do that.
Yeah. Man. I mean, the only thing that I remember, like, you know, post kids for me in this world is I got asked to go out and support, you know, playing in Eric Hutchinson's band, which I've done for a long time, out with Kelly Clarkson. And we were doing all the big monster venues in the States. So all the big arenas, we have to play Radio City Music Hall, Excel Amazing. Center, I mean, Staples Center in LA. Insane. 10-week tour. And my son, Dashiell, had just been born. And I remember thinking, because what an opportunity. Holy crap, right? You know, and my wife, like... And we decided together that I was going to go do it 10 weeks. And it was the day I left was also the day that Emily went back to work full time. And, you know, like pumping at work because, you know, she was breastfeeding. And I mean, dude,
was it super hard? Yeah.
Brutal. And I will say that that was an incredible time for me personally. Like it was an amazing tour. It was incredible, but I regret it. I regret it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, yeah, I do. There were 3 months then almost that I wasn't connected to my son or my wife or my daughter who was 3 at the time too. I mean, I also had a daughter who was 3.
Yeah.
And that time for me, and I remember thinking back on Dashiell's early life and like it's a little fuzzier to me because I wasn't around as much. And I think that like what I've experienced is my regret that I have in my life is centered around the time that I don't spend with my family. It's way less, like I'm never thinking, oh, I regret that I didn't say yes to that wedding gig. I never regret that.
Yeah, yeah,
and like you said too, Scott, I'm not trying to say, you know, oh yeah, people don't need money. And you know, I know that people have to work, but the regret that I feel is around things actually that I've said yes to, and the damage then that that's done in my family and, you know, and in my marriage, then the things that I have, you know, then the gigs that I just haven't done. So, you know, and everybody's different. Everybody's different. But I think 6 months with a family, that's brutal. I mean, man, I can't imagine doing that now. But I love this idea to you that you say of like, see if you can sub or dep on something, right, for a time. Can I ask you this? Is there any, can you speak to like the consumption of either like food or alcohol or drugs or whatever? Like, was that ever, because the guys, some of the other guys that I know that have done it, like one guy in particular, a friend of mine, so he just started to drink hard and he like, and it was awful. And the reason that he got off the cruise ships was because he was drinking too much.
Okay. And so there was, as you were speaking and like, and I was thinking, there's one thing that I need to say before we end the podcast. I was like, I need to say it because I need to give everybody a heads up about it. Is that there is a dark side to the cruise ships and the dark side is actually alcohol. And I know, like, I would love to say a handful. I know several handfuls, close friends that have got themselves into real, you know, like lifelong, I guess, struggles with alcohol through and the cruise ships were the gateway because there's a couple of different reasons. Yeah. So I'll get into it. So reason, reason number one is that you're not doing much in the daytime. Right. And after you've seen, you know, 10 beaches or 15 beaches,
the sea.
Yeah. And the sea, if you're over in the Caribbean or whatever, you are like, oh, should we grab a beer? Let's grab a beer because you can grab a beer at, you know, any time of the day because you're not working until the evening. So you've got nothing to do in the daytimes. And for the first little while, that's fine. But what happens is you start having like early afternoon beers and stuff like that. Then it's like dinner, you know, lunchtime beers. And then, and really, like, I know that if any cruise ship musicians that have been on the cruise ships are listening to this, they'll be sort of like thinking, oh, yeah, like maybe it was them as well. You know, I know people, to your point, that have been on there and came off because of it. But it is very easy to start drinking too much on the ships.
Yeah.
And also, the sad part of it is that there are, and I know, like, some of my friends, I'm not going to mention names for all of the obvious reasons, but some of my friends are actually stuck on the ships. They're stuck on the ships and they can't get off because I'm just going to say it, they are like functioning alcoholics. Mm-hmm. They drink all day, every day, all day, every day.
Yes.
And they function, they do the gigs, but that's like a really important part of their life. And they can't, so what happens is they can't leave. They need to be on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Because on a cruise ship, everything, all your accommodation is paid for, all your food is paid for, the beer's super cheap. So you just, you know, it's all responsibilities are gone. And you're not searching for the next gig because you've got a gig every single night. So they get stuck on there, okay? And it gets worse. Sorry, like ending on a bum note. It gets worse because they can't go back to where they were living before, because if they've been on the cruise ships like 5 years or 10 years, I know people that have done cruise ships for like 15, 20 years. They've been on for years. They can't get off because they've got nothing to go back to. Because they will be moving back to a city that they haven't lived in for years. And they will be starting from scratch. They will be like the new guy in town. And some of these are going to be like our age, older, like 55-year-old musicians. Can you imagine being like a 60-year-old musician with a stinking hard like alcohol problem moving to a city for the first time? And like you are the new, it's brutal. So there are, and like, again, like any sort of like cruise musicians are like, listen to this, you will know them. There are people that do get stuck on the cruises as an older individual. And it is kind of fueled by those two things, like alcohol, and they can't move back anywhere because they've got nothing to go back from. Back to, sorry.
Yeah.
It's brutal, actually.
Because if you come back, food ain't free. Booze ain't cheap. right?
And you have no gigs.
Rent ain't free. Yeah, yeah, zero opportunity to make money. Yeah, dude, the golden handcuffs, right?
Yeah, so they have to come back and they have to stop drinking and they have to get a job. They actually have to get a job so they can actually pay rent and stuff like that. I don't know, a supermarket or a factory, or I've had a few people, like friends that have done it. They made the leap. A friend I'm thinking of right now, he came off the cruise ships and he actually got a job in a factory packing boxes to get off the ships. So they are amazing. They're really, like, I do recommend, if you can go and experience it, do it. If you can't go for 6 months, do it shorter. But also try not to get sucked down that into that sort of, like, you know, everyday. Oops, my mother's calling me. Hang on. try not to get sucked into that sort of, like, everyday drinking thing, because it can really, really backfire and actually really ruin your life, your entire life. Like, you know, no relationships at home, like the whole.
So let me ask you this then, from your perspective, is the cruise ship gig worth the risk?
Hell yes. Yeah. I don't think there's any risk. I don't think there's any big risk. I think that the only risk is, oh man, I'm going to eat my, there is a risk, obviously, but it's not like that. It's not like a gateway drug to drinking or anything like that. It's really not that. But
didn't you just say that it was?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I said it's the gateway drug, like cruise ships are the gateway drug to sort of like getting,
I mean, what about this?
As long as you're aware of it, if somebody, I think it's like nobody talks about it, you know,
right?
Nobody's like, oh, by the way, you know, there's these, you know, there's some individuals have been stuck on these ships for like 20 years and they can't leave because they're financially tied to it. They're sort of like, from an alcohol perspective, they're tied to it and they've got nothing to go back to. And they love playing. They identify as being a musician. So when they think about moving to a city where they don't know anybody anymore, because they've been on the cruise ship for years and they have to get a real job in a factory. And like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to drink at 10 a.m. in the morning anymore. That sucks.
Right.
So the easy thing is they're just going to stay on the cruise ships. And, you know, and it really wrecks them. It wrecks them.
Well, you know, and that's such good perspective. I mean, the thing too, the two friends that I know, they got off because they were experiencing those negative effects. They didn't want to get stuck on. And listen, here's the thing. You can get off. You can. I've seen it happen. You did it. These other friends of mine did it, right? And you went on to be far more successful than if you would have stayed on the ships. And these guys, my friends too, same deal. They went on to do way cooler things. Not cooler, but I just mean like more successful things in the industry. But then they had that skill set. That's the thing that I'm jealous of, man. I'm like, damn, I've never had a gig where I had to walk the bass all night. Never had a gig where I had to, you know, like play a certain like samba music all night long. I never had a gig where I had to read all night. Yeah.
It's great, honestly.
That's the thing.
So good.
So know thyself, right? If you have a family, it's a long thing. I don't know. Or if you love to drink and you're broke.
And here's the thing as well, just to sort of like put it out there, that like I did not go on that cruise ship and sort of like, you know, and was a good boy and I just, it was just a great opportunity and I played every night and in the daytime I revised my parts. Dude, I got stinking drunk every night for 7 months.
But I was
just aware enough that I saw the individuals who were trapped in that environment. I was like, I ain't becoming that. That's not what I'm going to do. So after that contract, I came back and I was like, okay, I'm now going to build up a reputation in this new city.
Yes.
I've honed all my chops on the ship because it was just such a great learning experience. And dude, I partied hard and it was amazing. So I don't think I'm poo-pooing sort of like anybody partying hard. I don't want anybody going on a cruise ship and thinking, well, Scott said I can't party because if I do, I will end up lonely and like lonely and stuck on a cruise ship in my sort of like 60s. That ain't the case. I'm just saying that, you know, be aware of it, that's just something that happens to, it can happen to people. It happened to people that I know. But yeah. Man, if you're sort of like young and looking for fun, go and party all night, every night. It's great.
You get paid for it. Unbelievable. And get
paid for it. It's like the best version of university.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You don't get any homework or anything. No essays to write. Just play.
That's right. Yeah.
Dude, it was amazing. Just
get your chops busted. I want an experience like that now, just without the being away from the family and the alcohol. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'd love to do like a contract for like 2 weeks or something like that, maybe 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's so good because you just get to see all of these amazing places around the world. And there's, you know, I've just been in Spain recently, and you sent me a video and the kids a video, didn't you? And you were like, yeah. You said, like, air travel, being able to travel around the world and see these different places is a miracle.
It's a miracle.
And I've been thinking about this recently. Like, I've been thinking since you sent that video, I've been thinking about it, and it really is. And like being able to like go out on a cruise ship, fly out to a cruise ship or whatever and see the world, like this was not available 100 years ago. This is like a completely new thing. It's like amazing. And I don't think, yeah, it's unreal. It really is. So again, just to sort of like finish it on a high note, like if you've been thinking about going and trying out cruise ships, I highly recommend it. It is wild. Get paid for seeing to see the world. Get paid to learn and, you know, and be given all of this time in the daytime as well to listen to great music. I listened to so much great music, man. I just went deep in so many ways. It was wild. Anyway, let's call it. Dude.
Just make sure to keep the key to the golden handcuffs so that when you want out, you get out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Don't end up, stuck on the cruise ships. Anyway, dudes, dudettes, thanks for listening. We will catch you next time. Obviously, leave us a review on iTunes and all of the other places if you can, dude. That'd be amazing. And we will catch you next time. Take it easy. Bye.
Take care, everybody.